Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Melissa Hyuk. Now, China lowered a key interest rate for the first time since the peak of the pandemic in 2020 as a property market slump and repeated virus outbreaks dampened the nation's growth outlook.
The PBOC cut the rate on its one-year policy loans and also the seven-day reverse repurchase agreements by 10 basis points. GDP data released today showed China's economy grew 4% in Q4 of 2021 from a year ago, higher than the 3.3% expected, but still slower than the previous 3 months.
But for the full year, though, the world's second largest economy expanded 8.1%, well above the government's target of over 6%. However, December retail sales missed expectations with COVID zero regulations weighing on consumer sentiment. Joining us on the line now to give us his analysis is Tommy Wu, lead economist at Oxford Economics. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, Tommy, before the GDP results were out, China's central bank cut two policy interest rates for the first time since April 2020. What do you think are the implications of these cuts?
I think these are strong signals that the PBOC, China's central bank, is easing its monetary policy stance to shore up growth, especially given that today's GDP data is showing that growth is actually slowing in the fourth quarter from the third quarter because of the ongoing property market downturn as well as weak consumption.
Tommy, what are your thoughts on the cuts, though, and what was the market reaction?
The markets reacted positively in the sense that the stock indexes in China rose a bit today, and also the CNY also appreciated a little bit against the dollar. So in terms of the market reactions, that's quite positive. I think that actually, given today's rate cuts, but I do expect that more will come because to shore up growth, I think more stimulus should be coming. Not just through monetary policy, but also through fiscal policies.
Even though the Q4 GDP results that are now out came in stronger than expected, you're still expecting more rate cuts?
More cuts in terms of the reserve requirement ratio, and also we'll expect to see a cut in the bank's loan prime rate, even though it's stronger than expected. But I mean, a 4% growth is nothing spectacular, and it's actually reflecting the weakness of China's economy, at least by China's standard. And also, more easing is needed because it's much necessary to stabilize the real estate sector, and also because of the renewed COVID restrictions and also because of the zero tolerance approach, consumption will continue to be dampened. So this formulated the basis as to why I would expect more easing to come.
Right. So stronger than expected, but still not strong enough.
Yeah. And Tommy, let's talk about property. You mentioned it there because it accounts for a significant proportion of China's GDP growth. But how much was this sector a drag on the numbers out today?
I think the sector has been a pretty big drag on these numbers. So, for example, according to our estimate, real estate investment in terms of the fixed asset investment come from real estate sector continues to be dropping at a significant level. So it dropped by at least 10% year on year in December. And also keep in mind that in terms of the real estate sector's contribution to GDP, if you count the direct impact through construction and also indirect impact through, say, its demand through steel industry, etc., at least according to our estimate, it's at least a quarter of GDP. So the impact of a slowdown or a significant slowdown in the property sector is having a pretty significant impact on the overall China economy.
Well, retail sales, the growth in December saw a big miss as it slowed to 1.7% from 3.9% in November. So how much do you think the zero COVID policy is weighing on consumers?
This pretty much have to do with the zero COVID policy and also more frequent and widespread COVID outbreaks that has been happening. And this is dragging consumption directly because when restrictions are being imposed, people just cannot spend, and also indirectly through sentiment, because it's hard to imagine that sentiment can pick up when there are more frequent outbreaks, and also because, you know, the risk of having more lockdowns and restrictions is pretty high.
And that said, Tommy, you know, we've got the Lunar New Year holiday just around the corner. China's vowed to boost consumption during this period. How might we see this achieved, though?
I think one way of boosting consumption during the Lunar New Year is by giving out consumption vouchers or subsidies to citizens, especially those that have decided to stay where they are instead of traveling to out of city or to other provinces. In fact, some cities have already started to roll out this kind of consumption vouchers to encourage people to, you know, stay where they are and also to hopefully boost consumption.
We're speaking with Tommy Wu, lead economist at Oxford Economics. Tommy, we also saw fixed asset investment grow 4.9%, exceeding expectations of 4.8% growth. Which sectors saw the larger investments on that front?
So the manufacturing investment has been actually doing very good through last year. In terms of year-on-year growth, it has been picking up through, especially through the second half of last year. A lot of that investment has to do with investment in, say, the hard tech, green economy, automation, digitalization, or other strategic industries that are supported by government incentives and enthusiasm around, say, you know, the upgrading of industrial structure. The other thing is infrastructure investments have been weak through the year. But at least according to our estimate, infrastructure spending or investment actually picked up in December. And that's an encouraging sign because we have been expecting policy stimulus should come through to shore up the weakness in growth. And it seems that finally this is happening.
When you talk about weakness in growth, it's also happening in the population, right? According to data out today, there's a slowdown to 7.52 births per 1,000 people, continuing a downward trend we've seen in the last few years. Are we likely to see this reversing anytime soon, you think?
I think it would be difficult to see the trend reversing significantly, even though you know, China right now has relaxed its policy in terms of, you know, now having a three-child policy, and also there have been you know, many policies that being rolled out to reduce, say, the education cost, etc. But I think the impact of these policies, they might have a medium-term impact, but I don't think it will change the trend in the near term.
Okay, Tommy, just to wrap up, as we look into the rest of 2022, we are still only 17 days into the year. I know it's hard to believe. It feels like 2022 has already been 3 months, not long, not 3 weeks long. Anyway, can you tell us what are you looking out for and what are your expectations when we're looking at further recovery in over in China?
So I think in the first half of this year, we are going to see more policy easing from fiscal and monetary to help support growth, or at least to shore up growth, in the sense that I do think that the policymakers do have a bottom line in terms of how slow China's growth can get to. It's probably around 5%. So they will make sure that this year's growth will not fall below 5% or so. So I would expect a lot of the stimulus will happen in this first half, with the more organic growth coming from, you know, consumption or investment momentum picking up in the second half. So this year is going to be a challenging year for China, but I think this year is also a year that we'll see more policy easing to shore up growth.
Well, thank you, Tommy Wu. Tommy Wu speaking to us. He's the lead economist at Oxford Economics.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.